my title is a little bit ambitious, I would say. So, so you'll see what I mean. So I keep on doing, actually. I spend most half time in Chinese Academy of Science in the Institute of Physics. So here's the outline of my talk. So first, actually, I will talk about motivation, which is kind of very different from actually so far talks which has given. And then I will go to simply give you a comparison with Kupres and RMA superconductors. And then I will focus on the pair symmetry issues of RMA superconductors as experimental results so far and accumulate in the last 6 years or 7 years. And then I will talk about what in the so far the theory tells us, what is the pair symmetry. And you will see there's difficulty for theory to explain the experimental results. And then solve this difficulty, actually, I will come out to simple principles, which one I will call the correspondent principle, the other one I will call the magnetic selection rules, comparing to solve these puzzles. And after that, I will then try to make an ambitious prediction that maybe we have a third class of high-temperature superconductors that exist. So here's two papers that we didn't put in the archive, I guess. You have time to look. So that's basically summarized last 6 years. So motivation, my first motivation is really So my first motivation is really try to ask why high TC is such a rare phenomenon. So in the last 30 years, we only have just to recuperate and argue this. But at the same time, you can argue actually we find many, many strong correlated system material. Actually, a lot of materials actually have strong magnetism. And the UQ magnetism, I try to argue that there's no high-temperature superconductor. So this is one big problem to me. Like, if you try to run on anything, you have to explain why other materials so far discovered is not high-temperature superconductor. Right? So that question, of course, never try to address since there are so many materials. And another thing I would make point is that actually once you discover Kupres and RMA superconductors, and the superconductor is very, very robust. In a sense, as soon as you maintain the carbon oxygen layer, or iron arsenic layer, or iron selenium layer, actually, it's the high TC behavior is universally showing up. Okay, so this motivation, I think this rareness and the robustness is very stem from the actually, we have to have a strict local environment of electronic structures. And the second motivation, actually, I really try to think about this induction and versus deduction. Okay? So if you think about it, we just have Kupres, actually, really cannot apply induction thinking, inductive thinking. So it was just one material. Most work we are so far doing is actually based on the deduction. Okay, so we use a Hubble model, TGM model, whatever, we try to microscope, we try to do sensing, and try to explain this, and then using the deduction method. So RMA superconductor, I think, to me, the very last 6 years is like, provide the first object for inductive thinking. Okay, so that's one, really putting my effort into this. Okay, so if we think, induction is a mass, and for the physics, we know this is a mass rule, so I don't need to explain here. So you have to prove a theorem which is made in mathematical deduction, induction method. In physics, induction just basically say If A equal to 1 is correct, A equal to infinity is circular, everything is correct. So that's really, so this is a, basically the older Chinese philosopher, which basically say 1 produce 2, 2 produce 3, so A will produce everything, okay? So we have couplets and arguments, and if we really can come out the third one, and then I think it's hard to see if it really can be solved. That's how we think. Okay, so I wish that's okay. So here, simple, so far there's no one talking about arguments. And I'll give you some what has been discovered in the last 6 years or 7 years actually. Discovered a large class of materials. One is this iron arsenic based, and the other one is iron selenium based. So one is iron nickelized, and the one is iron tributinized. So in iron nickelized, actually you have different series, so you just label about digital numbers, like 111, and 12111, and then actually there's even more, okay, this space. And you can see the highest transition temperature is all around 15K or 40K and that range. Okay. As a matter of how you change the intermediate layers separating the iron arsenic. Okay. For iron selenium, same thing actually, so far. It's roughly in the 40K in the bulk material. And there's one material which is called a single layer iron arsenic. Iron selenium on the STO, maybe you go to 60. But that's there's many classes here. And so the basic structure is actually this iron arsenic layer, and this iron arsenic layer is a little bit different from the copper oxygen layer. Basically, the arsenic actually is stay out of the plane, okay, not like copper oxygen, you know, simply, but here it actually stay out. Okay, so if you compare couplets and arguments conductors, actually you can it's a lot of similarities. It's a 3D electron and there's a two-dimensional structure, you have magnetic order and a superconductivity induced by doping. And if you see transition temperature, okay, so it's over about 40K. And another thing is they have very similar phase diagrams. Actually, the thing you had to put in his talk. And the thing you also mentioned, the iron basically conductor with a physical band can also do it with this pressure, you know, tune the pressure, not just tune the doping. But I think this is really due to the data structure of our arsenic, where the arsenic is still out of plane, so the pressure is much more sensitive. So arsenic position can move up and down. Okay, that's different from this. Okay, so there are a lot of common features in this between these two materials.
So there's the coexistence of SDW and the superconductivity. It's phase separation, or it's
it's actually a lot of things. A lot of experiments indicated there's some like 1 to 2 cases actually is a microscopic coexistence. Okay. But unfortunately here, the physics, here is the one band, here is the model band. So you could have one band is more dominant, still SW state, and then the other one is
unconditional. Excuse me. But how do you see, without a magnetic order, the low doping regime, there is a charge carrier density is low.
Yeah.
I wonder whether in the ion superconductor you have a similar phenomenon. So, without the SW order, do you have this wrong charge density? Actually, in high DC, there's a so-called wrong charge density.
So far,
X not one minus X.
Yeah.
I wonder whether for ion phase, whether there's a similar.
We do not have. So I will give a reason why.
So for ion phase, it's a one minus X charge density, not X.
There's no, or you mean the total charge density?
No, the measure, the charge carrier density.
Yeah, but
the
point here is
like
the
multiple
band. Here is a multiple band.
Yeah.
So which band you want?
What are the Fermi surface? explained by the conventional band theory or not. In HTC, I think there's difficulty to explain the Fermi surface and the low charge density using conventional band insulator. For ion, I don't know whether there are similar issue of or conventional band theory would work for ion-based superconductor.
So far, I think that band still works.
I see.
So that's my
so one don't need to involve mod physics, basically.
This one topic of orbital selective mod may exist. For example, the DXY orbital may be related to mod, but certainly that picture, I have questions about that picture. But, so the model here is actually a little bit more. So you want to have five orbitals. You really cannot disentangle this simple physics.
But five orbital still band theory.
Yeah, it's band theory.
You know, the high the three orbital also.
Yeah, it's better use.
You need to have an actual.
But in principle, here, if you want to put an arsenic orbital, then you use 16 orbital.
But this is not the issue.
Yeah.
No matter how many audio you use for Cooper superconductor,
yeah,
there's a trouble trying to get out of the right.
So far, we do not have strong evidence for modern physics. I would say
I agree that photoemission certainly is consistent with this band, but there is a recent photoemission showing this mod.
My course. So this one particular Arnslinian case, which you go to the Van Overdot case, looks like you got a mod
this. This is on the single d x squared minus y squared of band, right? It seems like it's anomalously flat, does it?
No, it's not the dxy orbit.
Yes.
Okay, so the one which in the diagonal direction has some weight disappearing at high temperature. Yeah, and that's the evidence. Okay, so the topic this motion is certainly is very important. But here I actually today what I will focus is this. The parent symmetry issues. Okay, so and we know in the couplets, actually, the D-wave parent symmetry that tells a lot of things in the magnetic level. And this other basic conductor, what's parent symmetry? it's actually become very controversial in the last couple of years. So here, I try to think is actually, I do not. Ignore this theoretical form, we think about top to bottom approach is what I'm going to focus on the experimental evidence so far emerging for the RMS conductor. So I would argue that this experimental evidence actually really the RMS conductor is a robust S-wave. So at least the S-wave component is making dominant contributions. Okay? And this S with parent symmetry, if you want to understand in these standard models like our TJ Piper models, actually we're going to require some new thinking. So that's what I try to get. So in the D-wave case, in couplets, in D-wave case, everyone don't need to talk here. So you have phase and you have, if you have D-wave, you certainly create the nodes. So basically, in the D-wave, of course, if you want to convert D-wave, you really need to do a phase sensitive measurement. And if you just want to look at that whether there's a D-wave nature, really you can identify the D-wave by looking at the nodes on the high signature lines. And that's the case. Okay, so for here, my basic assumption for unrestricted magnetic field assuming that that is a spin singular tip. Okay, so that's actually what experiment supports. And also I can assume that the spin next state is a pure state. So I can ignore S plus D, whatever, these complicated issues. And so in that case, the automated supernova actually can really just look in the parallel symmetry by it's purely determined by the gamma value. So you do not need to do any phase sensitive measurement if you want to identify whether the estimate is material. So let me show a few experimental results so far. So one particular, typical in type Fermi surface looks like you have gamma point, you have three hole pocket, and then in the end point, you have two electron pocket. So if you have, if whether you determine S wave, D wave, actually you can just look at the gap structure on these hole pockets, because it's gamma point. So if you D wave certain evolution of whatever the pure D wave certain evolution. So far, actually, all the experiments on these pockets, actually, on these whole pockets, show full gap, isotropic full gap. Okay, so that's natural of the model. Okay. So if you go to the very whole loop, actually, you can make Fermi surface like this. Right? The whole pocket is getting very, very larger, and your electron pocket is shrinking to the so small. Pockets. And then actually this is a potential arsenic case. And in this case, actually, if you look at this, the most largest gap, the actually always generated on these small hole pockets, the smaller ones. And it's also near isotropic gap. And on the outside, for instance, the large hole pockets actually can have large gap variation. But then the small one, is always has the largest gap and always isotropic. So this is also tells you the one single representation this is must be S wave dominant in this case. So this material is the most controversial one, which a lot of people say D wave with what has no structure. But the reality is that it's a small Fermi surface always has isotropic gaps. Okay. So also if you change a little bit of it's a leasing arsenic, for example, you can change to this. The middle one can be shrinking to one point, and then you have from the surface whole pocket like that. So in all these whole pockets actually has gap functions which are struck as a number of those. And in the R3 case, actually, you can get rid of this whole pocket, just have electron pocket. So in this case, actually, it's a little bit tricky. Okay, so you can look at the gap function with this electron pocket. So in principle, you can actually get like full gap in the D wave case. Well, if my high symmetry line is in this diagonal direction, so if there's a gap, you can have full gap for the D wave. But the real thing is actually. This electron pocket is actually located on the C axis. So if there's a D wave, still you will develop a node on the electron pocket. Okay. So far, all the experiments actually see on this electron pocket is a full gap. And this can be only also consistent with actual S wave. You cannot make it a D wave. Okay. So in actually, there's evidence some nodes develop in some materials like phosphorus dope iron arsenic and calcium iron arsenic, also iron selenium, which has very large osmolarity. And these three cases actually self-reported. There's some nodes, but also largest measurement so far. All these measurements indicating that. This node is accidental, it's not located in these high symmetry lines. Also, there's some impurity effect measurements. Put it like more impurity, you can actually get out of the nodes. Okay, so that tells you these nodes are accidental nodes. Okay, so another argument I want to make is actually if you really thinking. The material has large, some place has S wave, some place is a D wave, is actually you will not get these kind of smooth phase diagrams. So you should superconducting methodology, maybe somewhere you should separate. Okay, so that's, I think the smooth phase diagram also show that the parent symmetry in the RM is very successful. So in summary, really we have in the RM is kind of we see these four typical Fermi surfaces. Okay, so there's a Hamiltonian orbital and a Hamiltonian electrodal, and this big particles which has this balanced co-pocket and electro pocket. And all cases actually you can see that it's consistent with S wave. So in summary, okay, so quickly in summary, so basically the so full gap, at least is all these materials, is they are seeing full gap in optimal dose of the gene. And accidentals actually find it in some material, but then certainly non symmetry protect. That's not supporting any kind which has D-wave dominant. Okay. So another thing is that actually larger gaps always showing up as a small for the pocket size. If the pocket size is smaller, actually you will get a larger gap. And larger gap is actually always isotropic. So this is very clear. S wave pattern is actually very robust and dominant in this plane where it's insensitive to doping and from the surface variation in this.
Oh, the whole pockets are the one at the center, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the whole pocket is the center.
Electron,
yeah,
even
FESC. Yeah. FESC is in the corner. There's no whole pocket, FESC is actually the two cases. Okay, so there's a small whole pocket at the semi. Okay, so I also mentioned the isotropic gap.
Okay.
So in some cases, the RM like single layer on the selenium, there's no whole pocket in the center.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just have this electron pocket.
So where the large gap is largest always on the electron pockets?
For the RM selenium, yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. For the RM nictide actual symmetry, electron pocket or symmetry size of the gap.
But you're saying that whenever there's a gap on the whole pocket, it's purely isotropic.
It's a small size.
Huh?
It's a smaller whole pocket.
Yeah.
It's like in the middle, the inside, internal one. Yeah. It always has the largest gap in the whole size. Okay, so that's for the summary from the experimental effect. Okay. So now let's move to the theory part, which we try to understand the pattern symmetry in the RM experiment. One model, of course, immediately we do is that we write down this effector value there plus some one-sided interactions. Okay, so you can have this Hund's turn and between different orbitals and this new Hubble turn in this case. And this model has been started for RMS in the last 6 years. For Weiss, method, RPA, and RPA, Flex, whatever, RG, FRG, all these. And so there's predictions which actually you require two things. You require this whole pocket and electron pocket. And if they are both exist, and if they are close to the nested, you mean the whole pocket and electron pocket, you will drive the system to the circle S plus one. So that's S wave. Plus or minus means the sign actually is changing. Okay, so this approach always requires this whole pocket and electron pocket near the nesting condition to achieve strong superconductivity. Okay, and that case is a robust S wave. But then if you do, in the RM discipline, the Fermi surface can be varied so much from the whole dope to the electron dope. And so if you do this type of calculations, you will see that if you take this Hamiltonian whole dope, then you will really become the weak D wave. Okay? And then in this case, you will S wave. And if I have Hamiltonian electron dope, you will get weaker D wave again. But that's and this both these cases actually will get a note.
So,
okay.
So you're plotting a back. What are the colors that there's? Why do you say that's D-layer? I don't see two different colors.
I didn't plot colors.
Oh, this is just the,
just the firm surface. Yeah.
What is the significance of the colors? B.
Yeah, B is actually I was S plus minus. So this I didn't draw Georgia. So that's for the standard Hubbard model that which is actually. S wave is not robust against the domain. Okay. And the D wave symmetry is respect with when you have only electron pop and also in the when the pop. So there's must have some transition from D wave to S wave to D wave again. And especially in the unsweetening case, actually, from the surface, exactly look like this. So you should be seeing these nodes differently.
So the migration is based on functional RG.
It is a velocity method. So this doesn't matter where. Yeah, you can actually the RPA, you start it from the surface. This is generic result. Okay. And another type of model, which you actually using effective for TJ type model, so you have effective band, the long run of the band, and you put a magnetic change component as. As energy saving and input, and then try to calculate this. And this is on myself and others. Actually, for this type of model, if you want to achieve ITC, you require to be the band structure to be strongly normalized, and namely the J over T has to be certain larger values in the mean field solutions. And so what kind of pair symmetry determined here is actually we propose one day is actually this is basically determined by this the magnetic change component provides the form factor and whether you can match to the Fermi surface or not. So this is I'll explain later. This is our first one principles. And in fact, if you want this model to produce robust S wave, I can argue that is that you know, this requires the only super exchange mechanism that they want in drive pairing. So I'll see what I mean.
So here, this TJ model, there is no.
No, this is already. I assume that the band is carried normalized by this.
But you remove this single occupation.
Yeah, not at all. Already removed. So this is the first, the earth-based mobility calculation, which is basically say if you have starting from some J1, J2 model, and if the J2 is dominating, it actually shows that this case is really the S wave is going to happen. Next.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused. Incorporate seems the standard picture is that with the onset U.
Yeah.
The next neighbor magnetic function drive a D wave.
Yeah.
That's kind of standard picture.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So here is something different. So
yeah, see. I will explain this.
I see. So here is somehow the magnetic function drive S wave.
So I will explain why the magnetism. But the point that I want to make is that the magnetism driving supercharge only you need to include the superchange. But actually the case is complicated because actually you have other magnetic sources like directed chi. So musically actually Dong Lai Fung has a very good summary about in the other case which you look at the Fermi surface in different cases. So some case you can have identical Fermi surface. So one has high TC, does not have high TC at all. Okay? So he compares these two cases actually really shows that the one has high TC has strongly banded the normalization. Okay? The one without high TC actually the bandwidth is very large. So let me explain this so-called corresponding principles. So this is the first we discussed about Hong Jin in 2012. And then actually, Bong Hai and Schmitz Davis also discuss this to include all these different orders. So let me explain a little bit what is this corresponding principle. So basically, if you using this magnetic change coupling, you know, so in Kubernetes case, the magnetic change coupling, it's less network, so you can actually give you S wave and then give you D wave. Okay. And but if you take this S wave form factor, try to draw on the Fermi surface, actually you can see the S wave form factor in the Fermi surface is very, very small. Okay, so it's actually zero. But if you look at the D wave form factor, if you draw on the Fermi surface, there's a large region, you can get a lot of superconducting gaps. That, if you solve the term as superconducting, provide superconducting energy, then certainly you will favor D wave, okay, it's in Kubernetes. That's a simple case. So in other superconductors, actually early days, people immediately realized actually the magnetism certainly requires, you know, so-called J1, J2 model, which you, the, you have second nest neighbor and first nest neighbor magnetic change coupling. So if you have these two terms, okay, so if you're thinking about the, what kind of pattern symmetry we're giving to you, so in fact, as a J1, you can also have S wave, D wave, J2 have S wave, D wave. Okay? And but, you can see the form factor for J2 is cosine Ks, cosine K1. And if you look at the other mispar Fermi surfaces that are centered, they are all located at the center or corner. Okay? So in fact, you can immediately see this with the form factor close to J2 and a large overlap with the Fermi surface. So that's one reason why you solve the TJ type model, you immediately, if it's the J1, J2, if J2 is dominant, you will certainly pick the S wave component. So that's a simple rule. But the question actually for this time thinking, there's one question still in me. So suppose I do not have a whole pocket here, just have an electron pocket. So these are the spinning case, which also you can have by DC. And then if you have J1, you can meet the cosine ks minus cosine ky also have large values for these corners. J2 is also larger values on the corners. So if the J1 is a rather antiferromagnetic magnet, then you then have a problem. So this one will be driving to the D wave, not to the not as the S wave. So that's one problem. But So then, you know, you can see that all the theory, experimental class, whatever you, in different material, they're always S-wave. And the theory certainly tells you that, you know, in cases which you can will drive to the D-wave. Okay. So that really put me to thinking that why, you know, actually this S-wave is solar class. So this is actually came out, I think that the reason is that the J1, the which is the next neighbor antiferromagnetism, is actually has different magnetic origins from the J2. Okay? So in fact, if you want to model entire RMS superconductors, the magnetism part, okay, so there's actually a very good model which is you can run a very generically, which has J1, J2, and the next neighbor. Terms that you actually have to involve so-called quadruple terms. Okay, so that's and this type of model can explain all the magnetism observed in RMS conductors. So from this model, actually, we compare with the neutron. Actually, from this the Fermi model, actually, we come out something which very very interesting is that if you put this model and you compare with magnetism in the big type, actually we'll find that the J1 is antiferromagnetic. But in the choke-like J1 is become ferromagnetic. So J1 is actually non-universal in the RMS superconductor. But J2 is actually quite universal. Okay, so the second nest neighbor is very universal in the model. It doesn't matter which material you take. And actually there's a side of J3 which is significant in the RMS choke-like. And this K term, the quadruple term, is actually always significant exists in these nearest neighbor boundaries. Okay? So that already the difference between the nearest neighbor and the second nearest neighbor is already tells you that J1, J2 has different magnetic origins. And that's so in the actually the earlier case, we already argued that, you know, the J1 in the iron transition type is a ferromagnet. So this one will never support you in singular period. So that's why the reason why in this with only electron properties, always the J2 is is dominating the view S wave. Okay, so that's how we really think, you know, basically the point is the Kubernetes case is actually the J1 yes neighbor magnetic change affects superconductivity, and but for the nictide is actually the J2 affected the super dominating effect in the superconductivity. So for that kind of understanding, we already know that the J1 and J2 have different mechanisms. So if you want to explain the robustity, basically you really have to explain the J1 is inactive in supporting the superconducting pair. Okay, so here I'm going to argue is that J1 is not produced by super change. It's actually produced by, more or less produced by direct exchange. So that's my, I would argue in this case. So let me compare with Kubernetes and RM-based conductors, okay? So in Kubernetes case, let's say I ignore oxygen. I completely remove the oxygen. So the copper we have individual spins or electrons. And they are not talking to each other. Okay, so let's localize electron state. So this is really the style of the model physics. Okay. So without oxygen, you already it's the state you're starting is a model state. Okay. So you put oxygen, it's really linking the effect of copying between the two coupled. Okay, so you here in the one band model. So if you write an effective one band model, the T is really goes through the oxygen. And the same key will produce super change, J, in this case. Okay. But if you look at the RM-based superconductor, the situation is very different. So suppose I remove the arsenic. Okay. So just look at RM lattice. Okay. The RM lattice, actually the lattice constant between the nearest neighbor RMs. The lattice constant is exactly the same as RM metal lattice constant. So which means actually these RNs with the next neighbor, they are actually doing direct exchange. It's actually very strong, it's a metal. So if you remove arsenic, so really the starting point is a metal. Okay? So you put arsenic, okay? It's actually you produce super exchange in the orbitals which involve dx, dxy and dxdy, this is the T2G orbitals. Okay? So that's starting point is, so if you think about the next neighbor magnetism, it actually is from the direct edge. So this magnetism is never going to support you pairing. So that's an argument. So if you really think about the effective power model, if you remove, you know, because we remove arsenic and the hopping here, is really involved direct change and in the hopping through arsenic mixed together. So the T you are putting here is not the one really producing super change. If you run on the Hopper model, just one side of patches, there's a physics, you know, this part of physics has been removed. So that's one big difference between the RM and the copper case. So really, thinking about, you know, if it's a minimum model for the RM-based superconductor, if I would prevent the pairing between the nearest neighbor, is really you have to include the repulsion between the repulsive interaction between the nearest and neighbors. Okay, so that prevents so the sort of beta, the V match, to forbidding you to produce independent symmetries between the neighbor islands. And that will leave the leading order always appears on the second and next neighbor pair. That is stabilized the D wave. Best way is stabilized. Of course, this is still heavily. I actually produce, I I did some calculation on the FRG, and this basic concept is right, okay? But I still need a more theoretical elaboration. So I would say that Shagan's question asked is really unbasic. In some sense, I feel is that it's actually the starting system you actually the automat. But as a modernist, which is really a change part, is actually embedded into a metallic system. That's but how we exactly solve these things, you know, the microscopic models still need more importance. So let's ignore this microscopic part. So the lesson actually from the unbased conductor, already you have two, I think you have already tells you two emerging principles. One is that the pairing actually can only be supported by super chain. And ferromagnetism. And the other one, actually, if in that case, then if you include just that and the ferromagnetism, then you can use this so-called corresponding principle to accurately predict whether what kind of pairing symmetry will emerge. Okay, so these two things actually is a large correspondence between the local physics and the Fermi surface. And this local determinant magnetic change put it together actually is the electronic environment necessary for the achieving high DCs. So if you want to satisfy these two, actually there's a lot of constraints on the electronic structure you have to put. Okay, to So basically, what I'm trying to summarize is basically that if you have robust S wave, and in the unbased wave, really emerge these two principles, and these two principles will guide us to argue that whether we can have a new class of unbased.
I'm sorry, what you just remind me, what is the corresponding principle?
So you have the local magnetic change, right? But that change must only super change. Right? So that form factor will match with Fermi surface. If you have large, then you will take that as a pair of symmetry, and the match has to be large to produce high DCs. So that's a simple case. Okay. So this requirement, at least, I mean, I ignore this very deep microscope case. These principles where they can guide us to search for the new high DC electron structure. So that's my next part. Okay, so I'm going to
I have
15
minutes.
15 minutes, okay, so I don't know. Correct. So let me argue that if you use these two principles, actually, it really tells you why we only can achieve high TC in Cooper's automation conductors in their structure. So we know in the Cooper's actually is a copper surrounded by six oxygen coordinates. Okay? So this is octeter environment. So in the octeter environment, we know that it's split to the T2G and EG orbitals. Okay? So EG orbitals is because coupled to the environment, oxygen is going to push higher energy. Okay? So over all these new orbitals, so on your orbital, you can really do a strong exchange through the oxygen, actually the d squared, dx squared, minus y squared orbital. And so you cannot put other orbitals, because other orbitals are not going to strongly couple with this oxygen and produce super-heat change mechanics. So if you have this local environment, if you want to achieve this dx squared minus y squared orbital as active orbital on the Fermi surface, okay? So that, because that So you immediately see that you require to fill 9 electrons in the d orbital to make this dx squared minus y squared show actively on the Fermi surface. So in the dual two-dimensional lattice, this square is lowered by the Ampere effect. Also, it can be lowered by missing this electrical oxygen. Okay? So that leaves a single dx squared minus orbital on the Fermi surface, okay, and dominated electron physics. And this orbital is a pure producing in two-dimensional electron physics and also pure super-chain mechanics. Okay, so that's in this, if you have this octeto environment. Okay, so now you can immediately see if I replace the copper to the nickel, cobalt, iron, I'm not going to achieve the required electron environment to achieve IGCs. That's why Cooper is unique in this case. And in this RMS conductor, you actually have this tetrahedral environment. So you have four coordinations to the neighbor. Okay, so this is the arsenic four coordination. And in this case, the crystal splitting is actually reversed. The EG orbital is lower and the T2G orbital is higher. Okay? And if you form a new lattice, you will immediately also find it's actually, in the RMB case, it's actually one of the dx, zdyz orbital here, is actually going to strong couple with dx square minus one square orbital molecule. And then push to high. Okay, so that orbital, so that double star orbital is not, it's actually not purely producing super chain. So the middle two, dxy, and another combination of dx and dyz actually is the orbital pure, coupling his dynamics is all pure through this arsenic, this neighboring arsenic or selenium. So if you want to fill this local environment, you want to make this orbital as most active, the pure, go to the arsenic orbital as the most active orbital producing your electronic physics, you really need to put a sixth electron. Okay? So that's why, one of the reasons why you, in this structure, is actually you can have put up, you can replace iron by nickel, cobalt, you know, chromium, or, you know, different 3D transition metals, actually they all very low, either very low TC, or, you know, there's no superconductivity. Because it's actually the magnetism can be very, very hot due to direct energy. So the RM case, RM is actually very unique in this four coordination tetrahedral environment. Okay. So you need, you can only achieve in this RM case, in the basic, in this, if you just think, ignore other interactions, okay. So, you know, if you have two spin-off couples, then the thing can be different. Right? Ignore in a 3D case, we do not have a stress. So these two unique environment, actually unique determinant, the one support one high TC, the other one support the other high TC. So actually last 3 years, actually, I was spending a lot of time to try to see whether my square lattice, you know, there's another case which I can realize high TCs, okay, in this, within this, but I never find it, okay. So this, you know, natural case, so the question now is really, suppose this physics is right, so whether we exist a third electron environment where I can achieve same physics and produce hydrogen. So immediately, you actually can see that here I have four coordination, here I have six coordination, and between them, there's another coordination, which is this five coordination. Okay, so in five coordination case, okay, so this is called the triangular pyramidal structures, right? And in the crystal splitting, it looks like this. So you have dz square is very high because of the top apical anions. And then you have dxy, dx squared, minus y squared, dx, dy. So dx and dyz is lower, and this dxy, dx squared, minus y squared can purely couple to the infinite anion. So in the new lattice, you can really figure out, you do some analyze, you will find this dxy, one of the dxy, dx squared, minus y combination, actually will couple to the dz squared, but dz squared is higher, so that one will push through. So without, you know, doing any calculation, you can immediately figure out that if in this structure, the one I can purely produce in two-dimensional through the to the inclined these anions is actually this these green ones. Okay? So the number of electrons I have to fill in this case, I have to at least fill to 7 electrons to reach this orbital. And I'm making this orbital as my pure contribution to the case. Okay? So that requires, so if I have the triangular bipyramidal structure, okay, I form, for this three will form a triangle like this, I require this D7 as a unique field effect to achieve high density. Okay, so that's the case. Okay. So, so if you mix this quantum shell, lattice, you immediately see that this basically is a triangle lattice, it's a graphene type, this is the anions, and this is the transition metal that they form triangle lattice. So that's the case. But you see this in a lot of time cases, but they never IGC. The reason of that is that it's not made by this fine coordination complex. Okay. So then you ask, you know, whether in the nature it actually exists this fine coordination complex to build the material. Okay. Actually, I searched entire database. Okay. Entire database. I only found two. Okay. So that's another reason why the third class may be not accidentally discovered by non-physicists. So why is this each and magnet oxide? And this is the ytterbium iron oxygen. Okay? So this is double layer structure, and this is a one layer structure. And in this case, it's actually this one is actually well studied because it's a multi-fluid material. And this one is the building block is the magnesium oxide, this fine coordination triangular bipyramidal structure. And this one is also the case. But immediately see that in this case, the yttrium is actually 3 plus, the magnesium is 3 plus. So you have 4 electrons when they fill in the d orbitals. So in this case, the same. So this one already not good. So the idea is whether you replace by this magnesium by nickel. Okay? So in this case, if you can maintain the same structure, and nickel is 3 plus, so you have 7 electrons, and you have 7 electrons, then you can ask whether I can really achieve. Okay? So I can do the left, this material for this structure is not existing. Okay? I mean, each nickel oxide has a perovskite structure material that exists. But without this fine coordination structure, it doesn't exist. Okay. So, but anyway, I can put a computer first principle calculation, see what the band structure comes out, and that is stable. Okay. That if the computer is stable, you can stabilize. Okay. So, if I put each nickel oxide, okay, calculate the band structure. The band structure is exactly the band structure tell you. So basically you have dx and dy, the optimal below for me. So you fill, and you have this blue band. Okay, this blue band is flat in the C direction from gamma to A, it's flat. It's a pure two-dimensional band. Its hopping is completely produced through the coupling with the neighboring oxygen. Okay. So, and the other one, the XDYZ orbital, is pushed down by the coupling with the DZ squared, and you can see that, the DZ squared. So this band is really, if I fill the same electron, this band is really near hot filling, and will produce the requirement I have. So if you look at the, if I calculate the magnetic order, this is triangle lattice, so I put this 120 degree magnetic order. You can immediately see if I put a U roughly 4 eV, and you get more state in the LD plus U calculations. Okay. So of course, I can change a little bit about this structure. structure by changing, replacing the top N2 oxygen. So I can change it to the oxygen to the chlorine, fluorine, whatever. Okay, so I can match the chemical covalence, and you can design different materials. No, these materials are in the computer, so okay. The reality is not like this. So the thing for the nickel anion 3+, basically, you can see this band, the band which has producing the requirement of physics is very robust. It's not changing at all due to the replacement. And in the cobalt case, I put a 2+, and this band is also a half filling in the same case. Also, actually, go to the platinum, which is 4D, and you will see that same physics can be emerged. Okay, so this band is very robust in different material. So if you take this band and you in the half filling, try to ask what kind of band symmetry, whether it actually can be high TC or not. So if you look at this Fermi surface, the half filling, this Fermi surface is dashed line. And you can immediately see that if I put S wave form factor in this band, this is very, very small. Okay, so the S wave is certainly not favored and well present. But if I put a D plus ID in triangle like this, D plus ID is another choice, of course. And you can see that this Fermi surface overlaps with the D plus ID form factor very well. And this is really can produce a large gap and produce in high TCs. And you can actually compare the energy skills produced by super exchange between this third class and the other base supernova couplets. And you can compare the super exchange between the other supernova couplets roughly by factor of 2. And the TC couplets are the other base supernova also roughly factor of 2. But if you put this nickel cobalt structure here, it's actually between them. So the TC I certainly expect if this material can be synthesized, it's actually going to be higher than other base supernova, but it will be lower than couplets. But the point is that it will also, and this material will have this unique D plus ID and symmetries. Okay, so that's my general story so far for the third class. So let me acknowledge, so that's the oral calculations actually produced by my two students, Xinxin and Chung. Okay, so and as you can see, that my lot of analyzed and argument actually based on a lot of discussion with all these experiment guys in China. In the early days, also acknowledging a lot of stereo collaborations with many good people. Thank you.
So the material proposed, basically it's like a carbon model on triangle.
You can say that but it's you know, my point is that there's already a lot of material which has triangle lattice. You claim it as a store for later electron resistance. And so far, for example, sodium carbon oxide. Okay? So let me actually have a picture. So why I argue this sodium carbon oxide is actually not the environment supporting ITC. So in this cobalt oxide which has this triangular lattice, but the cobalt is actually the located octahedral complex environment. And the distance between the cobalt and cobalt is very short. They actually involve direct exchange components rather than you getting the super exchange mechanism. Okay. So that's why I think this sodium cobalt oxide is not, you know, you should not just write out the Harvard model for the sodium cobalt oxide to do the physics. Okay. So but for the material I propose, yes, I
would say I couldn't do that. But between cobalt moment, you still have super exchange.
No, it's fine. It's here you have to, just one direct action.
Immediate,
but. Yeah, but the second and next neighbor here can be immediate as well.
Actually. No,
but
just
yesterday,
but you have double
option. Yeah, but you have two direct exchange.
That's true.
Yeah. No, direct exchange. To me, what I mean is that the couple you offer the direct overlap.
Yeah.
Or is the couple oxide patient. That's, and also, the orbital for this case producing the superheat, the orbital deformation surface is not the one strong component to that. oxygen. So that's why, you know, so if you actually, you know, I didn't put all the data I have. So actually I do an induction method through all the superconducting materials so far. I mean, relative high PCs, right? So like over 10 days. They don't have a couple of material which has over 10 days. Okay. As over 10K transition temperature, actually, you can identify that the unique is really the band if you have transition metal, then of course require transition the deal orbital is actually making the Fermi surface has strong components through to the anion. Okay, that's the actual use. Case. For this type, sodium case actually not the case. So I think it's not the candidate.
So DC is not affected just by doping and electronic.
Yeah,
so
TC is a logical effect. So higher I'm talking about is that the highest TC you can achieve.
Right. What I'm saying
yeah.
is that there are other things like pressure, for example,
yeah.
also change.
Yeah.
Does your
so I what I mean is this electronic one potential will give you high TC. Right? So the Cooper is in one case which you only cover you can give an R based connect is the only R you can potentially give. Okay? But whether you can achieve high TC there are all other effects certainly is there. But my point is for the nickel cobalt, you want to mix them to be high TC. Actually there's another electronic one which you can make. Okay, and but the point as I said, I searched the entire database. So far, the materials don't exist. Yeah, that's all. So yeah, I talk a lot of material growing in China, the fine coordination complex is actually not easy to realize. It actually is a metal stable kind of structure. Okay? But actually, just a few days ago, I found a paper in inorganic chemistry. Because they have these cobalt fiber coordinations. People construct like cobalt fiber coordination. And that actually gives me very good confidence. Maybe we can make this case. But of course, that structure is still not. The quarter share complex. So, but we'll see. Maybe there's some clever way to scale up.
So if I use a effective model that only contains like copper or iron, the difference between super and direct exchange, you're saying is how do I describe the difference between super and direct exchange?
No, it's a direct exchange. What I mean is that the d orbital is a direct orbital.
Right.
So hopping is produced by the direct hopping between that. So if that's the case, actually, the immediate thing is that if you want to run a hopping model or whatever, the actual requirement, you know, the energy really is evolving the next neighbor repulsive interaction. Okay, so you have to put that into it. So in the other case, actually, we know. We have to put it down, but we are completely ignored. So that's the reason why we get the parasymmetry is just driving the D wave. So you really need to put it that to prevent the system driving the D wave, because the next neighbor is not allowed there. So if you allow the next neighbor to be paired, then it's always getting the leading water you're going to deal with. That's actually a big problem. So if that lesson we learned, then we know that you know, actually, like cobalt oxide sodium case actually is not good candidate, IPC, you know, in the triangle layer. There's another couple of triangle structures. So the one we can produce is the one by this wire. We can actually produce another case, which exists, potentially exists. Maybe they tell me in half year, and the material world, and then, that's, but sometimes it's difficult, since five is good. Otherwise, as I argued, it should be already observed in the lab, or the accident scar.
No question. And that's just a thank Austin.